Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Balanced Gridiron. The following takes place between the hours of 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. real time.
5.
On a Saturday morning? Well, the answer is very, very simple. It is Jim Henson's 75th birthday. For those of you that are from my era, remember Mr. Jim Henson and the Muppet Show. So throughout the day, throughout the show today, we will be playing some classic Muppet Show clips. So our hats off to the Muppet Show. It still lives on in 2011, and so does the Balanced Gridiron. You guys are right here with us, myself, El Presidente, and my partner in crime, the guy with his very own jersey, and the guy who cannot resist the urge of eating a stick of butter when it, at midnight for his midnight snack. Mr. Josh Elmore, how you doing, sir? Joshua, are you with me, Josh?
Yes, sorry, I'm not sure what happened. I'm doing great. I'm a little under the weather, but I'm excited to be on the gridiron this morning.
Well, snap out of it, buddy. Go eat you a stick of butter or something, man, because it is Saturday morning. It is Balanced Gridiron. We are live atop of the Balanced Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, coming to you coast to coast on Blog Talk Radio. We've got a great, great show for you today. The return of the Fantasy Football Huddle is back. And we are going to break down your fantasy football team, our fantasy football team, give you our advice, take your calls, write this number down, because in a few short minutes, we're going to start the fantasy football huddle, 917-889-8516, and myself and $2 Bill Josh will help you get your lineup set for week three of the Fantasy Football NFL 2011. And then also coming up later on this hour, Mr. Phil Wilson of Bounce It Off Phil, IndyStar.com, going to come in here and talk a little bit about the struggling Indianapolis Colts. At 10 o'clock, Mr. Jimmy the intern will come on in here, and we are going to break down that IU North Texas game. And sometime after 10 o'clock, between 10 and 10:15, Mr. Gary Snyder of the Gary Snyder Show is going to join us and help us break down the infamous Notre Dame Pitt game. And at 10:30, of course, our mascot for every Colts game is Mr. Super Colts fan is going to help us rally the 12th man and get them ready for tomorrow's game against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are coming in and ready to do some damage to a limping Indianapolis Colts. And so, 12th man, you are up. And then also, myself and $2 Bill Josh is going to be breaking down some key college games for you to be watching, who to put your money on, who not to put your money on, and just a lot of stuff in between. And also, we're dedicating this show to Mr. Jim Henson of the Muppets, 75 years old today. Josh, do you remember Jim? Do you remember the Muppets at all?
I remember the Muppet Baby cartoons. I don't really know who Jim Henson is. I've heard the name.
Baby Muppets. Oh, that was a marketing ploy that was a disaster. Well, anyway, we're gonna relive and open up the vault of some of the sound clips from the Muppet Show throughout the show, and it's going to be an exciting time. This is the Balanced Gridiron. So glad you could join us on Saturday morning. Hope you got your coffee. Hope you got your donuts, because it is going to be a good show to get all wired up and ready to go. Josh, I tell you, one of the things we like to talk about right here on the Balanced Gridiron is college football, one of our favorite topics. And I know that there's a lot of things going on in college football. And one of the things they're talking about, Josh, is the college football realignment. Why don't you go ahead and give us your thoughts on that?
Well, I'm personally not a fan of college realignment at all. It's all about the money. It's all about power. It's all about prestige. Funny, because I thought college football players were student athletes. I didn't think they were student professional football players. Now, if you want to make the college into a mini NFL, that's fine, I suppose. But go ahead and stop with the whole they're student athletes. They're here to get an education. And admit they're here to make the students money. They're here to make TV executives money. They're here to put on great shows for the fans. The more and more and more and more they realign, it becomes less about being a student athlete, more about being a mini NFL, being a mini conglomerate. And now you have the top 64 teams at somehow Indiana University. I'm not sure how they pulled this off, or among those 64 teams. They're going to form four super conferences and then break away from the NCAA. My question is, when they break away from the NCAA, how will that impact women's volleyball or soccer or March Madness? See, they're all about realigning for football, and that's cool. But there's other sports in college. There's lacrosse and soccer and tennis and golf. And while the football team can afford to travel all over the country and go from Texas to Connecticut, because somehow UConn and TCU are in the same conference, the men's soccer team can't afford to take that same trip. The women's swimming team can't afford to take that same trip. So at the end of the day, I think it's really bad business. It's kind of sickening. And if we're going to start making it all about money, can we at least drop their student athletes or that they care about grades and just admit that at the end of the day, college football is only about money and how many different games you can get on TV in a week? Any thoughts on it, Tom?
Well, as the old adage says, Josh, is that the more things change, the more they stay the same. However, like we just talked about in the world of college football, the more the same, the more of shame, I guess. I don't know. I don't understand what the purpose of all of this shake and bake is, other than for the money. I mean, obviously the ACC is already a powerhouse conference, even though they're not a predominant as such a conference as the Pac-12 or the SEC or the ACC. High-profile universities like Boston College, Clemson, Florida State, Georgia Tech, Miami, North Carolina, Virginia, and Virginia Tech, just to name a few. The Pitt Panthers, which we're going to be talking about a little bit later on today, and Syracuse are the latest culprits to jump ship and head for greener pastures. I don't know if the Orange can make it on the gridiron in the Big East, but how in the world are they ever to expect to make a name a larger, more competitive conference like the ACC? I don't understand that. So, talking about Texas and Oklahoma, it's just a big mess. And, obviously the Big Ten experienced some changes last year with the addition of Nebraska, which I think is a good addition to the Big Ten. That's a story in which is still being told throughout the 2012 season. Well, one of the things we're going to get into today, just a little bit later on today, is some of the key marquee games that are going on. And obviously, right here on our show, we're going to talk about the Army Ball State game. We're going to talk about the Notre Dame Pitt game. We're going to talk about the IU North Texas game. But there's also a lot of other key marquee games that we're going to be talking about. Josh, what are some of those games we're going to be talking about later toward the end of the show?
Number 3 in undefeated Alabama plays number 14 in undefeated Arkansas. You have number 2 undefeated LSU going to number 16 undefeated West Virginia. You got Michigan under the direction of head coach Brady Hoke taking on San Diego State, the team that Brady Hoke left at the end of last season to come take over the Michigan job. So will San Diego State come back to buy Brady Hoke for leaving in the Big House?
Okay. Was that a question, Josh? Or I mean, we're going to
kind of rhetorical question.
Oh, okay. Well, rhetorical question, as in, I don't have an answer for it. That's for sure. Well, hey, guys, welcome to the Balanced Gridiron. My name's Tom Marcos, El Presidente, your host for the next couple hours, and we are going to be breaking down from the college football to the NFL, and we've got some great things in store. Obviously, right around the corner here in just a few short minutes is the return of the Fantasy Football Huddle, one of the most popular things going on that here at the Balance we have had. So write down this number, because in about 5 minutes, we're going to start taking your calls, 917-889-8516. Now, remember, you can find this everywhere you look on the web at www.thebalanceonline.com. You can also find us on Facebook. Just search The Balance, and we're putting together a really great contest that if you go to our Facebook page and you hit like, well, you could win. So we'll get into more of that contest as the developments get developed. Also, Twitter, T Balance. Just follow capital T and Balance. Capital T, capital B, and then just the rest of the word Balance. Pretty easy to find us. You can Google us. You can also find us on iTunes. We're really, really excited. This is a good time of the year for the Balance. And the Balance has got a lot of bigger and better exciting things that are coming in the works. And as those things all come together, we'll be ready to bring them to you. And we are coast to coast right here on Blog Talk Radio. So glad that you could spend some time with us on your Saturday morning. We are atop the Balance Studios in Indianapolis, Indiana, the heart of the Midwest. And we are ready to bring you more football than you can possibly digest on a single Saturday morning. We have everything from college to NFL, your fantasy football huddle right around the corner. So, Josh, real quickly before we take a break and come back to the infamous fantasy football huddle, what else do we have in store for today? I know we got our picks coming back today. What else is going on the show today, Josh?
We're going to break down Notre Dame and Pitt, IU North Texas. We're going to really get into what's going on with the Indianapolis Colts. Tom, as promised earlier this week, is going to answer the question. I know which way I lean. Does Tom truly hate Notre Dame?
And that is a question we're going to get into right around the 10:15 mark. Do I really hate Notre Dame? I don't know. Stick around and find out. We're going to be right back. And when we get back, it's the Fantasy Football.
Me, me.
Well, when I say when you gotta go, you gotta go.
You have made me very angry.
Josh, I tell you what, that wasn't exactly what I was planning on. You know what? My Saturday isn't quite the way that it should be lined up either. I've got to get my sound bites in a row so we can go to a commercial break. But we'll be right back. We'll try this again with the premiere, the season premiere, season of the Fantasy Football Huddle.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley, Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
This with from Sounds of the Game. Sounds of the Game Fantasy Football Huddle is back. Joshua, are you ready to break down some fantasy football for week number three?
I couldn't be any more excited to break down fantasy football for week number three. We have some huge matchups going on this week. We have some breakout players on teams that desperately need wins. And I cannot wait to talk about my boy Cam Newton.
And we've got a lot to talk about. We're gonna talk about your quarterbacks. We're gonna talk about your running backs, your wide receivers, your special teams, your defenses. We're gonna talk about all of that right here on Fantasy Football Huddle. The lines are wide open till 9:45. 917-889-8516. Get your calls in now, so that we can help you break down week number three of your Fantasy Football Huddle right now. We're going to go to our injury report. When we get back, we're going to take your calls, 917-889-8516.
All right, guys, let's jump right into the injury, starting with Michael Vick. We know about the concussion. His trainer said he looked okay on the plane ride home. What do you think? In the next couple games, he'll be okay? Week three, he'll be okay? You're looking at me with a blank stare.
I think he's going to be fine. You know, he said he wanted to go back in that game. That's not uncommon for players to get injured, especially when the concussion is not severe. You know, I think when you look at what he's going to face this week, he's got to pass all the tests. That's the big key for him. But I think fantasy owners should prepare to have him in there. Now, as we told you all offseason, you should have prepared for a potential Michael Vick injury. This was a little bit fluky. It wasn't like he was running. He was actually hit by his own offensive lineman after a defender threw him into him. So I think Vick will be back out there, but you should still be prepared just in case. I don't know if I'd pick up Mike Kafka just yet. He would probably be the starter. Vince Young still dealing with a hamstring problem. But I expect Vic to be in there. I projected him for stats this week, and I have him ranked.
Yeah, I have him ranked too. And for now, I think it's safe to have Vic in fantasy lineups. There's questions about whether or not he's going to be the same guy because of the concussion. We've seen quarterbacks get concussed, and they're not the same quarterback anymore. Mark Bulger, Derek Anderson, two big examples. I think that Vic is going to be completely the same quarterback because he's been banged up before, has been knocked around in games before. This shouldn't impact his psyche, especially since it wasn't another defender that did this to him. It was a total accident when his head went into the helmet of one of his linemen. So I think he'll be just fine long term. Hopefully he plays by week three. CBSSports.com will have the latest on him throughout the week.
You know, the interesting thing is they told him stay in the pocket more, and he got hurt in the pocket.
Right. Yeah, right.
Let Michael Vick be Michael Vick. He'll be fine.
Should the concussion affect Mario Manningham? He is expected to play in week three, right?
That's the initial reports. Again, you know, it's something you're going to have to keep an eye on. You know, the game being Monday night, it's going to be something you're going to have to, you know, really take a look at throughout the course of the week. But I expect him to be out there. You know, it was one of those situations I think that they were being, you know, cautious. They had such a big lead in that game. No need to run him back out there. So just keep an eye on it. Again, concussions are going to be tricky, but he should be able to go.
All right, let's talk Dallas injuries. There are aplenty. Miles Austin, Dez Bryant, of course, Felix Jones, and Tony Romo. What's the deal? Miles Austin day-to-day, right?
Week-to-week with Miles Austin.
Okay.
There's talk that he could be out past the Cowboys bye week. That would be a nightmare situation. So let's just look at it week to week. I would say that he's out for week three. You just have to wait and see how the hamstring heals. I'm sure the Cowboys are waiting the exact same way. Dez Bryant, there was an early report out of Dallas that he would be available in week three. We're hoping that that holds true. Of course, a week ago this time, we assumed that he'd play in week two. And then by Friday, he would eventually not practice, and then he wasn't playing. Felix Jones, this is a guy who has a separated shoulder. There's a question about whether or not he's going to make it. I think he's going to be okay. It's a tolerance pain issue for him.
Not 100%, though.
He's not 100%. He's got a separated shoulder, so I think you've got to lower expectations for him if he does play. I also think the Cowboys will replace him on the field a little bit. And last but not least, Tony Romo. It sounds bad when you hear collapsed lung, punctured lung, and cracked ribs. You think, oh, he's going to be out a long time. He'll probably go. He's probably the safest of all four of these guys to play in week three.
All right. Injuries in Dallas, injuries in Denver as well. Updates on Brandon Lloyd, Knowshon Moreno, and Eddie Royal, Jamie.
Yeah, I think Lloyd is the safest to play. You know, he was a surprise inactive, you know, given the fact that he practiced on Friday and was warming up before the game Sunday, but they wanted to be cautious. Obviously, it's only week two. They want to make sure they have this guy for the majority of the season. So I think you can expect Lloyd to get back out there. He's more of a number three receiver until he starts to do something like what we saw from him last year, but someone you can definitely start. And then when you talk about Knowshon Moreno, I think the injury is going to linger for a little bit, Dave. It's not something that's you know, very encouraging for fantasy owners right now, especially the way Willis McGahee ran in that game. McGahee can continue to carry the load. And then when you look at Eddie Royal, he just shouldn't be on a lot of fantasy teams at this point in the season. And as we'll talk about as we go along, Eric Decker is definitely somebody that's on the rise.
It's worth mentioning that Knowshon's hurt his hamstring three consecutive years now. The first 2 years it happened during training camp. Now it's happening during the regular season. He's missed a lot of time with the hamstring injury in the past.
You know, guys, we always talk about the Patriots tight ends. You always say, start them both, Aaron Hernandez. It'll be a couple of weeks with that sprained MCL?
2 weeks at least.
Okay, two weeks at least.
Yeah.
You're going to hang on to him, and you're going
to have to hang on to him. Just keep him on your team, but no one's starting him in week three.
All right, Malcolm Floyd, that groin injury, any updates?
Well, I mean, this is a guy that's dealt with injuries before, and typically he misses time when he has these injuries. So this is probably something you're going to have to, you know, deal with. But Floyd is one of those number three, number four receivers for fantasy owners. He got off to a great start in that week two game against New England with over 50 yards receiving and then, you know, couldn't finish the game. So you have to see. They didn't get any production out of Antonio Gates. That will definitely change this week.
Yeah, that's going to change. I've always been bothered by Malcolm Floyd because of the whole hamstring.
I see all the tweets coming in already. Jamie, what are people saying on Twitter?
Yeah, this comes to us from Collier FF. He says, do I drop Danny Amendola for David Nelson, and do I drop Danny Woodhead for Dexter McCluster or Daniel Thomas? Dave, I would definitely drop Danny Woodhead for Daniel Thomas at this point, and I probably would drop Amendola for McCluster ahead of David
exactly.
Nelson.
Right, exactly. David Nelson wouldn't be on the list, but if you can get Thomas and McCluster for those two guys, that's a great move.
All right, thanks to our friends over at CBSSportsOnline.com for providing us with the injury report. They're going to give that to us once a week, and we're going to make sure that we break down those injury reports, and we'll certainly make sure that that matches with your team. On the line with us is Mr. Mike Daly, part of the Rings of Lakeview. What's it called again, Mike?
Sickest Boys of Lakeview Ring.
Boys of Lakeview Ring. Okay.
I quickly would forget.
I tell you what, Mike plays in a league that I play in with my church, Lakeview Church here in Indianapolis, and it's good to have you on the line, Mike Daly. Of course, along with me is my partner in crime and co-host, Mr. Josh Elmore. Now, we're talking a little bit about injuries. Do either one of you guys have any injuries that you're dealing with this early in the season?
Yeah, Arian Foster. Arian Foster, I've got on both my teams, actually. And I've definitely been dealing with that. Got Brandon Lloyd, who I'm still going to – I'm going to set both of them this week, actually. Also got Michael Vick. Supposedly he's in great shape, but, you know, who knows. I don't know. But Arian Foster's been kind of frustrating. You know, you think he's ready to go, and he goes out and gets 4 points for me and is out of the game, so –
Josh, what are your thoughts about Arian Foster? What would you recommend that Mike do with Arian Foster this week?
I don't know, Mike. Is Ben Tate available in your church league? If he's available, I would pick him.
On that league, yes. I'm actually starting in my other league. I'm starting LaDainian Tomlinson instead. Yeah, he could bust out for, you know, plenty of points, and he could get a, you know, a low one like he did last week. I don't know. Just a little bit of a risk.
All right, Josh. Now we got Mike. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
Yeah, biggest thing I'm kind of trying to decide right now. I've got in the Lakeview, the Boys of Lakeview League. I've got Michael Vick, and I've got Cam Newton. Cam Newton, obviously, his first two games, he has racked up the points. And it's kind of tough. It, you know, Vic just coming off the concussion. He usually does really good against the Giants. But, you know, who knows? You know, who really knows? Cam Newton, you know, he's a rookie. You know, he's had some great games. Is he going to keep it up, or is he going to fall flat on this one? He's got a good matchup, but it's a little more of a risky one. So I've been throwing that one around this weekend.
Josh, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, Cam Newton's my boy, and Michael Vick is beat up and not even guaranteed that he's going to start. And the cool thing about fantasy football is if Cam Newton throws for 500 yards and the Panthers still lose, you still get the points. So I would go ahead and start Cam Newton at least for one more week.
Yeah.
Right, and yeah, absolutely. I mean, Cam Newton, and I talked with this a little bit about with Josh, I'm not a Cam Newton hater per se. I just think until he wins a ball game, until he shows me that he is all of that in a bag of chips. Now don't get me wrong, he is getting fantasy points. Josh, how many points did he get you last week?
I believe last week he got me around 24 or 25 points.
Okay. Well, that's pretty good for a quarterback, actually. I didn't think that he had actually scored that high. Let's talk a little bit about Michael Vick. Obviously, Michael Vick was a hot commodity going into the draft this year, and a lot of people picked up Michael Vick. And if you remember right, I said it right here on this show as well as on the Gary Snyder show that Michael Vick is entirely overpaid and he's prone to injury. And as we talked about in the injury report. When you pick up a player like Michael Vick, you pick up all of his baggage that comes along with him. And so that said, he is very, very prone to injury. So anytime that you pick up a quarterback or running back wide receiver like Michael Vick, that's very, very good in their own right, but at the same time have a lot of different types of injuries and different types of situations that could keep them from playing throughout the entire season, even if they're back and forth, you always want to make sure you have that handcuff player. And what I mean by a handcuff player is exactly what is happening here now. If you've got their backup right away, then that's always a good situation to have whenever that you've got a backup quarterback like that to bounce into. Who's your backup quarterback for Michael Vick?
Cam Newton.
Okay. Well,
yeah, so I think Cam is I've already got him in the starting lineup, at least penciled in right now, so I'm probably going to keep him there too. Hopefully he has another week like he has the last two.
Josh, are you starting Cam Newton this week?
I am, but not in my balance league. In my balance team, I have Matt Schaub, and he's had two big games, not as big as Cam Newton, but I have Schaub and Newton as my two starting quarterbacks.
Well, I'll tell you who I got. In the Lakeview, the Boys of Lakeview League, I have Philip Rivers starting as my quarterback, and I still am going to keep a hold of Ryan Fitzpatrick over on the Balance Fantasy League. I am impressed with Ryan Fitzpatrick. He certainly has been a surprise, and right now I'm not in inclined to make a move there. So I'm going to go ahead and keep that around. When we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about the quarterback situations. But obviously, you've got some other key matchups. If you've got Manning or Sanchez, those two are going at it together. Obviously, Cam Newton we just talked about, Matt Schaub. Those are other matchups. Of course, we've got some running back matchups to talk about. Ben Tate versus Ryan Matthews, Fred Jackson versus Blunt. So those are all things that we want to talk about. We do want to take your calls. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We're going to be talking fantasy football here for the next few minutes and for about the next 15 minutes or so, and then we'll have Phil Wilson from the Indianapolis Star jumping on the online here, and he's going to break down the Indianapolis Colts. And if you've got any Indianapolis Colts players this week on your fantasy league, we'll talk about that. But I think even if you've got Reggie Wayne or Dallas Clark, this is certainly a week that you might want to think about setting them, because the matchup does not go in their favor. And I'll tell you what, a little bit later on in the show, why I think the Indianapolis Colts will win this game and come out on top on this game. We've got to take a break. I am bold. I'm one of the most boldest guys you'll ever meet. But trust me, I've got a very good record of picking winners, and Josh will attack.
I can vouch for that.
When we get back, we're going to talk more fantasy football matchups. On the line with us also is Mike Daly. We also want to talk with you about your fantasy league. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. You're coast to coast right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247.
Welcome back to the Balanced Gridiron Fantasy Football Huddle, and I owe Fast Times a free commercial because I must have sticky fingers today because that's twice now that I've hit the wrong button at the wrong time, so I'm just getting over anxious, and we'll make up that spot to them later on in the show, I promise. And you guys might also have noticed as we went to our break, that was the Swedish Chef making eggs with the Muppet on the Muppet Show. Mike, what we're doing is we're honoring Jim Henson today. It's his 75th birthday. And so, what, you know, do you remember the Muppet Show, Mike?
Yeah. I saw my age a little bit. I was a little bit too old to watch it, but, you know.
Hey, I loved the Muppet Show. It was one of the best shows on TV at the time. Josh remembers the Muppet Babies. Does that tell you anything? The generational gap on this show is unbelievable. But a classic, classic show that was on TV for many, many years. The Muppet Show.
It was.
And it was always good, wholesome family TV. You don't get those type of shows anymore. Well, talking about good, wholesome entertainment, fantasy football, guys. Well, this is the Fantasy Football Huddle right here on the Balanced Gridiron. So glad that you could join us today. We've got a lot of things yet to talk about in the next 15 minutes, and we certainly want to take your calls. Give us a call, 917-889-8516. We'll get you on the line here with us, with our experts, our fantasy football experts, Mr. Mike Daly, and as usual, my co-host and partner in crime, Mr. Josh Elmore. Josh, tell us a little bit about your running back situation.
Well, my running back is what's dragging my team down. I thought I was pretty set with Cedric Benson, but Cedric hasn't really done anything, and I just have no name backup, so I'm losing points every week at the running back. But as long as I got Cam Newton at quarterback, I'm doing all right. And I got Dez Bryant at wide receiver, who, by the way, has been confirmed will play tomorrow.
Josh, you sound like the Indianapolis Colts for 12 years. As long as I got Peyton Manning, everything will be okay. Well, you guys, you got to develop your team around more than just one guy. And that goes for both the professional level and the fantasy league, because you never, especially on the fantasy league, injuries can hurt you a lot more more than in the fantasy world than they can in the real world, I would say. So, all right, Mike, who do you have on your fantasy football lineup?
As far as running backs?
Running back, I'm sorry, yes.
Yeah, on the Lakeview League, I've got Peyton Hillis and right now Ben Tate. Arian Foster, too, obviously. He's sitting on the bench. Peyton Hillis continues to come through. He's just been solid. I had him last year and this year, and he's won some games for me. And on the other league, well, also I have sitting on the bench on that league. Let me take a look at it here. I've got Felix Jones. Obviously, you can't predict what's going on with him. But then the other league, I do also have Hillis and Foster on that league too. But then I've also got Benson. You know, I'm like Josh, I did pick up Benson, but for me, Benson's the third running back. And as a third running back, he's great. Then you got, you know, of course, I've had to put LaDainian Tomlinson in for Foster this week, too. That's a little risky, but it's something I got to do. I did make some good pickups, though. Thompson's in my flex spot. And I picked up David Nelson from Buffalo, wide receiver. Also picked up Denarius Moore from Oakland. So I'm hoping one of those guys can come through instead of Austin Colley, you know, Lance Moore. Had them in there. Moore was dealing with some injuries. Now he's back, but he's not really producing yet. Colley is just him and Kerry Collins have just not been able to connect, like you were saying. And it's just tough putting them in your starting lineup right now.
Oh, absolutely. And again, I cannot emphasize enough, if you've got any Indianapolis Colts,
This would definitely be the week just to set him. I'm not saying to set him the whole season, but certainly you might want to think about setting him this season. Now, on the flip side of the coin, like on my balance league, I've got Rashaal Mendenhall for Pittsburgh. Now, if you've got him as a running back, you certainly want to make sure that you start him against Indianapolis tomorrow. And that's an 8:20 game. And then also I have Matthews with San Diego, and he's going up against Darren McFadden with the guy I'm playing. He's not going against Darren McFadden. He's going against the Kansas City Chiefs, and that will be a great matchup. Those Chiefs really can't get it together, and they actually might be in line to get Mr. Luck by the end of the season. So, you know, that's who I've got in that league. Now, we do certainly want to talk about some of the other running backs out there this weekend as far as matchups goes. Ben Tate versus Ryan Matthews. Like I just said, Matthews has a lot, considering that the Chiefs allow the fourth most fantasy points running backs in 2011. So, I wouldn't be playing any Kansas City Chief running backs at the moment at all. Another matchup, Fred Jackson with Buffalo. Obviously, again, we talked about Ryan Fitzpatrick. A good matchup there against Blunt down there in Tampa Bay, despite the one-dimensional makeup. While I like Blunt's matchup better than Jackson within the Bills. Either one could be blown out by New England or be stuck in a shootout. So I would go with Blunt over those two type of situations. Starks and Green, I'm just going to kind of go through these. The Jets running game failed to get on track despite an easy win over the Jaguars. You know, as I've talked about before, injury can really make a lot of difference, and they're dealing with Mangold's injury there. So I would certainly go with Starks on that one. Obviously, then over there, another New York team, Brandon Jacobs and Reggie Bush over in Miami. That's a hard pick for me, but I'd certainly go with Brandon Jacobs on that. Guys, any other running back picks or thoughts that you want to do real quickly? We've got to move this right along into the wide receiver. Again, this is Fantasy Football Huddle. We got just a few more minutes. We'll take your calls and talk to you about your fantasy football team at 917-889-8516. Guys, any more running back thoughts there?
Only
go ahead.
I would pick up DeLon Carter if he's available. I think now I may be the first Colts fan to say the Shosa Adai is a great running back, but with the quarterback situation the Colts have, it's only a matter of time before the Colts do something we would never see them do with number 18, and that's go to a two back system. And I actually think DeLon Carter is going to start to get a majority of the carries just because he's a bit more powerful and a bit stronger than Joseph Adai. The guy's a better blocker, so if he's available in your league, I would pick up DeLon Carter.
All right. Well, let's move right on over to the wide receivers. Josh, who do you have starting in your wide receiver position today?
In my wide receiver position, I have Steve Smith starting for the Carolina Panthers, which I made a mistake, and I'll admit I built my team entirely around Cam Newton. I have all his wide receiver buddies as my wide receivers. So my question is it smart to have a quarterback's entire wide receiver core, or do you need to diversify with different teams' receivers?
I absolutely think that diversification, I sound like a stockbroker now, and we'll have to get into that conversation with Gary Snyder. But I think diversification is ideal, especially in fantasy football, because, again, fantasy football, the rule really does apply. You never want to put all your eggs in one basket. That's why I always laugh at these guys. Well, I'm a diehard Colts fan, so I'm going to pick all the Colts fans. Or I'm a diehard Patriot fan, I'm going to pick all Brady and all the thing is, fantasy football is designed to give you the ability to score off of many different positions and many different players. If you put all your eggs in one basket, you really are sucking as a fantasy football owner. All right, Michael Daly, real quickly, who do you have as your wide receiver?
In the Lakeview League, I got Mike Wallace and Kenny Britt. Also have Eric Decker starting at the flex position this week. Brandon Lloyd, Santana Moss on the bench. Other league, I've got Mike Williams, Deion Branch, and David Nelson. Deion Branch is coming through really well. That's actually a PPR league, points per reception, and Deion Branch has really come through well with some good points there, mainly because of Brady being so hot, I'm sure. Also got, like I was saying, Austin Collier, Lance Moore on the bench, got Denarius Moore on the bench, and to have in my hip pocket, I got Terrell Owens for the end of the year. Hopefully he's going to recover well, and somebody's going to pick him up, and he'll catch fire.
Right. Oh, well, all right. Over in my wide receiver position, and I've got a flex there with Nelson with Green Bay. I've got Marshall with Miami. Now, I talked about not playing any running backs with Kansas City. I'm going to flip that a little bit because I think Kansas City needs to score a lot of points and needs to score fast, and they need to pull themselves out of a hole. So I think you'll find that they'll be passing the ball a lot. So if you've got a halfway decent wide receiver for Kansas City like myself, Bo with Kansas City, that's who I've got starting in the wide receiver position there as well. In just a moment, we're going to get to Phil Wilson with the Indianapolis Star, and we're going to really break down the Indianapolis Colts. Some other people to go with in the wide receiver position, Bolden and Reggie Wayne. Again, steer away from these Indianapolis Colts wide receivers. I know it's a temptation to say, oh, okay, Kerry Collins is going to throw to Reggie Wayne. Wayne saved the day last week. No, stay away from Reggie Wayne, and you want to go with Anquan Boldin with Baltimore. Henderson and Mechum, I'd go with Mechum with New Orleans, and I probably butchered that name. Another wide receiver thing, Dave Nelson and Eric Decker. Nelson should see a lot of action this week, and so I would certainly go with him. And again, going back to that Ryan Fitzpatrick matchup, and Ryan Fitzpatrick is doing a fantastic job. Well, guys, we really didn't have a lot of time to get to the kicking and defense. We'll start with those next week. But we've got to take a break. And when we get back, we're going to be talking with Phil Wilson of the Indianapolis Star. Mike, thanks for joining us this week, and we'll talk to you next week right here on Fantasy Football Huddle.
Thanks a lot.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, T-Balance. You can also send us an email at tbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com. Welcome back to the Balanced Gridiron. That's right. It is somewhat of a Muppet show out there at Lucas Oil Stadium. But more than that, the reason we're talking about the Muppets is the fact that it's Jim Henson's 75th birthday or anniversary birthday. Anyway, Google's doing it. So, hey, if it's good enough for Google, it's good enough for the Balanced Gridiron.
And also good enough for the balanced gridiron is Mr. Phil Wilson. I got his name right with the Indianapolis Star. Bounce it off Phil, the guy who knows everything there is to know about the Indianapolis Colts and some stuff that everybody else doesn't know. Mr. Phil Wilson, welcome to the balanced gridiron again.
Greetings. How you doing?
Well, we are doing good on a fantastic Saturday morning. We're all pumped up for a Colts game. Also along with us is Mr. $2 Bill Josh, my partner in crime and co-host. But, Phil, I know
you
always like to rain on our parade. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I know you always like
Why
to rain on our parade.
And
give us... Hey, you know what? I always try to get pumped up for the Indianapolis Colts.
Okay.
Here's the thing. I want to lead that 12th man charge, but obviously we know that you always give us a good dose of reality check. So we've got Kerry Collins,
I'm watching the Browns game right now, brother. I'm watching the end of it here. So yeah, reality check's all over it.
Well, don't tell me what happened. So all right, let's talk a little bit about that game. What happened in that game? They had such a what I thought. As opposed to an improvement from the week before against the Texans, they had a good first half. They had a couple good drives in the second half, and then it just all fell apart. What is going on over there on West 56th Street?
Well, the offense is getting field goals instead of touchdowns against a very mediocre defense. That should give you red flags right away. They weren't cashing in drives, and Jim Caldwell didn't have the nerve to go for them 4th-and-1 when they were ahead 3-0. Early on in the game, and I thought they were winning the physical battles up front. Vice Chairman Bill Pullman even said as much on his radio show Monday. They were physically beating Cleveland at the line. They got stopped on a 3rd-and-1, but that's because Ryan Dean got blown up, and they should have gone for it on 4th-and-1, I think. But neither here nor there, they weren't punching in for touchdowns, and the defense cracked, and the defense has got holes in it, whether it's pass coverage, whether it's containing Colt McCoy rolling out. And, little by little, a missed tackle here, a blown coverage there, Jacob Lacy getting picked on. Kerry Collins continued to miss throws. And he wasn't pressured nearly as much this game as last, but he still didn't get it done. I'm watching the last 3 minutes now, and he's about ready to fumble the ball. And that basically put the dagger in the coffin. But just a total team effort. Don't discount the Josh Cribbs special teams punt return of 41 yards to set up the clinching touchdown late, too. So all three phases, all four if you count coaching, just very disappointing and discouraging day against a very, very average at best Cleveland Browns team that the Colts should have beaten.
I absolutely second that assessment of last Sunday's Colts game. And I have a couple of questions. As a Colts fan, going into the preseason, I'm not a Curtis Painter fan. But
right.
If Kerry Collins can't hang on to the football long enough to give us a chance to do anything with it, against the Cleveland Browns, no less, with Ryan Dean. By the way, I don't know who's going to replace Ryan Dean at right guard tomorrow. I don't know if anybody knows that for sure. Why isn't Painter getting a look?
Well, first of all, I don't think Ryan's going to play. He didn't practice all week. You're going to see Mike Pollock there. So, put your happy, happy, joy, joy hat on and play the Muppet soundtrack again because – that's going to be scary. I wrote a blog earlier this week, 5 reasons to stop worrying about Painter, and the first one was he's not good. The 5th one was it doesn't matter to place quarterback because there's enough other problems. It's just impossible for this team to succeed right now. So I think Painter will get his chance. I think Collins might even get banged around Sunday night before Painter gets to play. And when Painter plays, I think people will be reminded of the reality that he's not an NFL quarterback. And he's a nice kid. I like him. He's got a good arm. But there's more to play in the position than that. They paid $4 million to Kerry Collins to try and save this mess. And the fact of the matter is you're not going to just get rid of him or quit 2 games in, even though a lot of the problems are focused around him. Not all of the problems are his. I mean, I saw a lot of line play that was very shaky and leaky. First, second straight game.
Now, one of the questions I want to ask you about before we get into more details about this Steeler game Yeah, and I talked with you a bit about this via email. You really stirred the proverbial pot, if you will, by calling Bill Polian a coward. Let me ask you this, and I'm certainly by no means asking you to back down from your statement, but do you think those words were a little harsh, or do you think that it's a reality that Bill Polian prefers the national media as opposed to the local media?
Well, I wrote that he continued his cowardly ways. So that was the actual statement that I wrote, and I won't back down because he had the time to talk to four national outlets that week, but declined all of our interview requests. And it's something that's been going on for, well, it's my 11th year on the beat, and I'm used to it. And my colleagues have put up with it and tried to play nice and get along. And I'm to the point now where I'm just tired of it, and I'm the one person you're going to hear mention it. And the problem is, when you do that, everybody thinks you're trying to make a name for yourself. It's not that. I'm trying to affect change. I'm trying to tell the man straight up, him and his son and Jim Mercer, anybody else who wants to talk about it, it's wrong. It's flat out wrong. The fans deserve better. It's not about me. It's about me doing my job for the fans. And when this man does this to us, he's effectively telling the fans what he told them in the Jets sit-down game when he set the starters down. Well, you don't matter. What you think doesn't matter. And I think it's a negative reflection on a man who's been very, very good at his job for a long time, extremely accomplished, six-time executive of the year. I don't understand why the insecurity, why someone who's done so well would have a problem in facing the music. Instead of facing national guys who will never criticize him and never do anything but just be grateful for whatever information he gives them. So that's the whole backstory to that. And I let him know in my blog that I'm going to continue to hold his feet to the fire for this stuff because I think it's inexcusable. That said, I've also said I would be more than happy to talk to Jim Caldwell, Jim Irsay, Bill Polian, Chris Polian. Hell, they can have all four of them in a room. They can all gang up on me just so I can make my case and say, guys, you know, you can talk to us. I mean, there's not too many people in this market that are that hard. I mean, you know, and ask tough questions. It's three or four of us, really. I mean, how tough would it be for you to face the music locally? And guess what? The way the season's going to go and the way the team looks right now, they're going to face a lot of this music. It's not going to sound too good.
Oh, absolutely, and I couldn't agree with you more. And my hat's off to you, and I'm in your corner, and I'm certainly in your cheer section, and I know Josh is as well. Well, Phil, and real quickly, we certainly want to get into this game, so let's do that.
Sure.
I mean, the Colts have not started an 0-3 season since 1998. I personally believe that the Colts, and I'm probably a one-man show here, but I personally believe that the Colts can beat the Pittsburgh Steelers for a lot of reasons. One, I think that they play better on national primetime. Two, I think that they are tired of being embarrassed nationally. Three, I think the fact that I think that they've probably, and I haven't been able to go to any of the practices, so I can't vouch for this, but I know Peyton Manning's been walking around on the practice field. I know he's probably been giving them their little pep talks and behind the scenes meetings and stuff. So I think there's a lot of things that play in favor of the Colts. But what do the Colts have to do to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers on national television in prime time tomorrow night?
Well, if you're right, you need to have me back on so you can, you know, give it to me. You can give me a hard time, you know, because
okay.
You can call me a coward. You can call me whatever you want if I'm wrong on this. To be honest with you, it starts up front with a 3-4 defense. You got two young tackles with the Colts that have to block and have to read. More importantly, they have to read the 3-4. And Dick LeBeau, the Hall of Fame defense coordinator of the Steelers, has been drawing up blitzes, creative exotic blitzes for forever. And he's befuddled Manning in the past, so it's going to be tough. The Colts have to throw quick hit passes. They have to try and run the ball on a defense that doesn't give up a lot of running yards, although I know Ray Rice got some on them in the first game. Pittsburgh's not invincible. You're right. Their offensive line is not settled. They got some guys banged up. I think Freeney and Mathis will be licking their chops, but the Steelers aren't stupid either. They'll double Freeney and they'll chip block Mathis as needed, I think. they'll try and help their lineman out as much as they can. Plus, Roethlisberger's a big, strong guy, and you hit him, doesn't mean he goes down. As a Bowling Green Falcon, I teased him on the conference call this week. So I remember you know, my Falcons bouncing off you in the MAC title game when you were in Miami, Ohio, like gnats. So that's a problem. And then Rashard Mendenhall's the other problem. They're a power rush team. So Pittsburgh plays physical. Pittsburgh beats on you. That's not the Colts' MO, not on offense or defense, although I'm encouraged by how the Colts have run the ball. But it's going to be a real, real tough test here. I hope you're right, because fans deserve and they need something to cling to. They need a reason to watch the games, and a national TV primetime blowout would just further discourage, you know, all the faithful from even paying attention. And nobody—I swear to you—nobody wants to see that. And I hope the Colts can at least put up a good fight.
Josh.
And I certainly agree with your sentiments about tomorrow night's game and also about Bill Polian. I'm going to tomorrow night's game. It's what my brother wanted for a present, so I went ahead and I bought it for him. I tried to encourage him.
Cool.
I tried to encourage him. He's a big Colts fan and Chiefs fan, not to go to that game because Collins is hurt. Painter is also, I hear, has a banged up shoulder. I don't know how Painter got a banged up shoulder unless it was in practice. I think Steelers are going to win this game about 56-7. And here's the bottom line. Here's the reason the Colts stand no chance this season, really. It's Bill Polian's draft strategy. When he got here, Manny was a great pick. James is a great pick. The last 5 years, apparently he stopped caring or he just lost his mojo. We're not as talented as the other teams. And that's the long and the short of it. It's talent.
Okay, well, and real quickly, we've got to get to a break, and then when we come back, we've got Jimmy the intern. He's going to break down the IU North Texas game. But real quickly, Phil, and thank you so much for joining us. Obviously, you have an open invitation to come back anytime, and really appreciate everything that you're doing. But how can they find your work, and any final thoughts about tomorrow's game?
Well, my work is online at IndyStar.com. Bounce it off Phil B. I'm actually finishing a redo analysis of the Browns game right now, and I'll write it up here in a little bit. IndyStar.com, bounce it off Phil B. It can be found on Twitter at PWilson24. And if there's one stat that people might want to cling to, I'll throw it out here to you guys. And it's just for the Colts fans. Pittsburgh has not created a turnover yet in two games. That defense is so good. But they have zero turnovers forced, and they've committed seven turnovers. Well, turnovers are always the great equalizer. So if you're going to pin your hopes on anything, folks, you hope Pittsburgh turns the ball over, or I guess we could say the Colts turn the ball, force the Steelers to turn the ball over. That might be your one hope. That might be the one thing that makes this game tilt back toward, the way most people don't see it. I think it's a 10.5-point spread or 10-point spread right now. But that's probably the one stat that stuck with me. And, you know, maybe that'll prove to be prophetic, maybe not. But I throw all the Colts fans at least that.
Phil, we appreciate it. We always appreciate what you do. Keep up the good work. And, hey, from me to you, keep up the hard questions. All right, buddy?
Well, thank you. I don't know how good my work's been lately. I think maybe fans are getting tired of me writing bad stuff. I need to write something good for a change.
It could be worse. It could be Bob Kravitz.
That's true. There you go. Thanks, guys.
We'll talk about it another day. Have a good day.
Thank you. You too.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today. Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle?
then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, GBalance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
All right. Welcome back to the Balanced Gridiron. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Alongside me is the man with his own jersey, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. And the one team that did not poop for real last week is the Indiana Hoosiers against South Carolina State. They pulled off a win. And with us, to talk about that win and today's game against North Texas, Indiana University's only Jimmy the intern, Jimmy Cavanaugh. Jimmy, how you doing, buddy?
Tom, I'm doing pretty good, and you know, especially considering that IU managed to win last week. I don't know how I'd be doing if it was the other way around. But yeah, they pulled out a win. I'm ready to talk about it. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely, and like you said last week, if Indiana did not win, you would be doing a play-by-play or a blow-by-blow because Coach Wilson was going to be knocking some heads together if that win did not come together. So let's recap that game real quickly. South Carolina State came into Memorial Stadium and had a few good drives, but at the end of the day, Indiana University was able to pull off a win. So just go ahead and let's recap what happened out there last weekend.
Yeah, well, you know, personally, they had a few too many good drives. This is an offense that I said last week on your show was in the process of really finding itself. They have been averaging 66 yards passing. They came in against IU and put up over 230. So they more than tripled their output through the air, doubled their output overall, put up over 300 yards. And this is a team that scored 6 points against Central Michigan, scored 19 points on offense against Bethune-Cookman, and they come in and they put off over 20 on IU. I came on your show again. I said that if they scored more than 20 points, that IU's defense is going to be in trouble for the rest of the year. I'm going to stand by that. I don't know if they can develop. Hopefully they can move past it. But that's not something that I wanted to see in this game, allowing the amount of points they did. Now, that being said, the offense did look pretty good. Ed Wright Baker overthrew some receivers at times. He made a couple mistakes deep, and you know, he wasn't perfect with the ball. He fumbled. He got pulled for Dusty Keel. Dusty Keel played very, very poorly, much more poorly than Wright Baker played. Wright Baker showed that right now he is the guy, and he finished with, you know, a pretty solid stat line, over 270 yards. But I believe he threw for two touchdowns, one to Deweese Wilson, one to Kofi Hughes. And D'Angelo Roberts came up big on the ground. The other running backs didn't really run hard. Wilson wasn't really happy with them after the game, said they were maybe waiting to get tackled. But D'Angelo Roberts, the true freshman, really stepped up big, had over 100 yards, had a touchdown, had the best IU rushing performance from a true freshman since Ben Jarvis Green Ellis. And Deweese Wilson also came up pretty big, 6 catches, over 100 yards and a touchdown. So, you know, pretty solid all-around performance.
Talking to the man with all the knowledge, the man with all the backstage passes, courtesy of Gary Snyder, who's on the line with us now. Mr. Gary Snyder, the guy with his own billboard of the Gary Snyder Show. How you doing, Gary?
I am. I'm doing fine. I'm cruising home from hockey practice. My son had hockey practice this morning. Sipping a Venti pumpkin spice latte and loving life.
I tell you what, I love that pumpkin spice out there at Starbucks. That is fantastic. We got to get them on as a sponsor. Maybe we'll get some free Starbucks coffee. Not as good as the Keurig coffee maker, but hey, we'll make it work. Also along with us is Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Josh has his own jersey. $2 Bill, do you have any questions for Jimmy the intern about IU football or anything
else? I do have a question. It seems to me that Kevin Wilson brought an offense to Indiana University, and I thought he was going to rework it to fit the talent that he had. It appears to me he brought the offense that he built around Sam Bradford, and either he hasn't reworked it to fit his talent or it's not an offense you can redo. So what I want to know is if you need a dynamic quarterback who can also run, Bradford doesn't necessarily run the most. And Wright Baker struggling. Why isn't Trey Robinson at least getting a look? And I know people are going to say he's a freshman. At least give him a look.
I mean, from what we've seen so far, Trey Roberson has been in for a really limited number of plays. And when he's been in there, he's thrown maybe one pass. And he hasn't looked all that great throwing the ball. I think it's mostly just because Wright Baker at this point, being in the program for the amount of time that he has, he's more used to the college game, and he's done a better job learning the playbook overall at this point than Trey Roberson has. If Roberson comes in, it'll be with a significant fraction of the playbook. It's going to be watered down a whole lot, which kind of hurts the amount of stuff that the offense can do. Now, Roberson, he's faster than Wright Baker is. And I've said that if he gets some pretty good awareness about him, if he gets a better idea of the playbook, of the plays, and just being more comfortable being on the field, I wouldn't mind seeing Roberson out there at some point later this season. But right now, Wright Baker looks like he's the right guy for the job because Dusty Keel is just not ready at this point. I don't know why. He's definitely allegedly the more polished pocket passer. But from what we saw last weekend, the first series that he came out and led IU, he threw four passes, two were completions, two were incompletions, and one was an interception that was nullified due to penalty. At the very least, a tire fire, if not a dumpster fire, out there on the field that led to IU punting the ball. And, Wright Baker overall, he had a pretty good game. Two touchdowns, no interceptions. And actually, in his first three starts, there was a stat out in the IDF the other day comparing the first three college starts of Antoine Randall, Kellen Lewis, Ben Chappell, and Ed Wright Baker. Now, those last three quarterbacks were pretty good. Kellen Lewis, I liked. Ben Chappell, obviously, finished his career pretty strong. And Wright Baker's stats so far measure up with just about all of them. He measures favorably, especially passing percentage-wise, with every guy out there. So, right now, Wright Baker is not doing too much wrong out there.
All right. We're talking to Jimmy Cavanaugh, Jimmy the intern from down at Indiana University. We're talking IU. When we get back, we really want to break down this IU-North Texas game. And also, of course, we want to break down another marquee game, the Notre Dame Fighting Irish against the Pitt, and we're going to finally answer the question, do I hate Notre Dame football? On Blog Talk Radio, we get right back.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions, work with them today.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
And the Muppets all day long. It is the 75th anniversary of Jim Henson and the Muppet Show and the Muppets. Now, Jimmy, we've asked everybody, do you remember the Muppet Show? And Josh tells us, well, I remember the Muppet Babies. I'm wondering if you even remember who the Muppet Babies are, because you're just a baby yourself.
I don't remember either. My best example, I remember Muppet Treasure Island, the movie where they go and do it based on the Robert Louis Stevenson book. But that's about my extent of familiarity with the Muppets.
Now, Gary Snyder, I know you certainly have some memories of the Muppet Show.
I do. They were on every Saturday night, I think at 6 or 7 o'clock, and you always watch the Muppets.
That's right. The Muppets were the show. That was back when they had good wholesome TV, Gary. Back when they went. And by the way, I did some research, and I'm going to push your show a little bit for Monday. I did some research on Stacey Keach. If you would have told me the stuff he was in, I would have known it right off. But when you said the name, it didn't click on who he was. So I know who he is, and I'm excited to hear that interview on your show. On you've got actor Stacey Keach on your show on Monday.
Yeah, I was a little disappointed yesterday. I had to land this big get with Stacey Keach, and nobody knew who in the hell he was.
You've got Stacey Keach? That's awesome.
Yeah,
I know who Stacey Keach is. Hey.
I've got a question for Jimmy, because Jimmy, let me ask you this. Obviously, you're no fan of Dusty Keel as quarterback for the Hoosiers. My question for you is, what did he do to you? Did he say something bad about your mama or flip flop your sister or something?
I don't know exactly. Here's the thing. I'm not exactly sure where the genesis for my hatred for Dusty Keel came from. I'll just tell you this: when Dusty came in the game in the press box, I have a bunch of people I go around and talk to. When Dusty Keel came in, I was talking to somebody. He walks in, and I turn around. I just start cursing under my breath. It was a bad situation all around. And I'm like, what? Why is he doing this to us? What is going on? The guy's looking at me, like I'm maybe overreacting a little bit. And then he watches the series, two penalties. It's then second and 20, throws a 7-yard out, throws an incompletion, almost throws a pick. And then at that point, he's like, okay, I see what you're talking about. Right, last year, he was miserable. He completed 23% of his passes. He was awful. Why does no one remember this? I feel like I'm screaming into the wild.
Well, anyway, we're talking to Jimmy Cavanaugh. We're talking some IU football. We certainly want to break down two key marquee games today. We've got IU and North Texas against the Green Machine out there in the brand-new stadium. And also we've got the Fighting Irish against the Pitt Panthers, which will be a key marquee game as well. So, Jimmy, we'll start with you. IU coming off a good win last week against South Carolina State, going down to North Texas to face the Green Machine in a brand-new stadium and a fantastic running back down there with a struggling defense that IU has. I think IU will still come off with a win.
But let's go ahead and break down that game as far as today's game, Jimmy.
Well, yeah, IU's defense is definitely struggling. And it'll come down to one of two things. Either North Texas is going to be able to run the ball extremely well, or IU will sell out to stop the run, and North Texas will be able to find space to throw the ball. Now, either way you slice it, I can't see them scoring less than, I can't see them scoring less than 20 points, because if South Carolina State was able to score 20 points, North Texas will be able to score 20 points, especially with Lance Dunbar back there. You said fantastic running back. That's absolutely right. I've been saying this all week, that Mike Eckler said that he's going to be possibly the best running back that IU faces this year. And, you know, Wisconsin's on the slate. There are Big Ten teams on this schedule that IU's going to be facing, and he's saving that phrase for Lance Dunbar. Larry Black, the defensive tackle up front, said that he reminded him of a faster version of Evan Royster from Penn State. And he's one of Penn State's all-time leading rushers, if not their all-time leading rusher. So Dunbar is definitely going to be a challenge to stop. And while I don't think IU is going to get gashed both on the ground and in the air, they're going to have to pick their poison. If I had to guess what they do, they're going to try to sell out to stop the run, and they're going to get beat, you know, through the air with the pass. Repeatedly. Now, that doesn't worry me too much because North Texas's defense is pretty bad. They've played pretty good teams so far this year, Florida International, Houston, and Alabama, but they've given up more than 550 yards per game, more than 43 points per game, and IU should have a chance to move the ball pretty well. Gary was egging me on trying to get me to say that they suck. I won't say that any team sucks. But this North Texas is pretty close. They're not a very good team. And I would imagine that IU, with the weapons that they have on offense, with D'Angelo Roberts, Deuce Wilson, DeMarlo Belcher, Wright Baker will have plenty of weapons to throw to. I think that he could have a pretty big day.
Well,
Josh?
Question.
Oh, go ahead, Gary. I'm sorry.
Here's my question, Jimmy. You'll say that Dusty Gill sucks, but you won't say North Texas sucks?
Dusty Gill did something personally. And at this point, it's a personal vendetta against Dusty Gill. I'm man enough to admit it. But, yeah, I just don't want to see Dusty Gill on the field yet. I'm sorry. If Gunnar Gill isn't better significantly than his older brother, I think we might be getting ourselves a little too excited.
I can answer that question
right,
for you. No, Gunnar Gill is... Gunnar Keel is not much better than Dusty Keel. I've seen Gunnar Keel play on tape three times this year. He has an arm. He can make passes, but he cannot make the difficult passes. In the Big Ten, if you can't make the difficult passes, you might as well get used to seeing the linebacker running the ball the other way for a pick seven. Maybe it's because he's in high school. He's taller than Dusty. I like his arm a little bit better. It's his mind I'm a little bit worried about as far as being able to read the field with Gunnar.
Well, hopefully Wilson's able to change that around a little bit. But that's not particularly encouraging.
All right, Josh, do you have any questions for Jimmy real quickly about the North Texas game? We want to dive into Notre Dame here. So you got any last questions about IU for Jimmy, Josh?
No, not really. Just let's go Hoosier and let's try to get to 2-2, and hopefully by some miracle we can come up with enough wins in the Big Ten to go to the Toilet Bowl, the Cheerio Bowl, or something.
Sounds like a plan. All right, well, let's go ahead and Jimmy, we'll keep you on the line if you got to go. Totally understand, but we certainly want to break down a very good marquee game and certainly answer that question that we've been teasing all day long. Do I hate Notre Dame football? So first of all, let's start with the expert and foremost knowledgeable man in the world on Notre Dame football, the guy with his own credentials and can stand on the sidelines and hear the crunches, Mr. Gary Snyder. Break down this game for us today.
Mike, the answer is yes. Tom Marcus does hate Notre Dame football. How's that?
I don't hate Notre Dame football. Okay. We tease all day to say this. I don't hate Notre Dame football. In fact, I love Notre Dame football. I'm very passionate about Notre Dame football. That's why it irks me so much to see them play as crappy as they have been. So I don't hate Notre Dame football. It's kind of like your kid, you know. You know they can do much better, and you get really honked off at them when they don't excel to their fullest ability. And I think they have so much talent on that team, and they're just basically not executing the way that they should. So that answers the question on whether or not I hate Notre Dame football. But I tell you what, they've got a challenge ahead of them today, again, to get a win. On paper, it kind of looks like they should put it together, but Notre Dame needs to go down there. And as I said on your show yesterday, Gary, the more physical defense team that we have in this game is going to prove out to be the winner. So what does Notre Dame have to do to beat the Pitt Panthers?
They need to not turn the ball over. If they will move the ball, I think they will have no problem moving the ball in this Pitt defense, as long as they can stay away from the turnovers, especially in the red zone or deep in their own end. I think they'll have no problem putting points on the board against this Pittsburgh defense. You go to the other side of the ball. Notre Dame's defense playing awfully well, except for maybe Gary Gray on the jump balls. But other than that, I think Notre Dame keeps them in check. They walks away with this game by at least 14 points.
Josh?
I think for Notre Dame to beat Pitt, they got to do several things. One, they got to watch out for the trick plays. Pittsburgh is coached by Todd Graham, who led Tulsa into Irish Stadium last year. And I apologize if it's not actually called Irish Stadium, and beat the Notre Dame Fighting Irish. Tommy Rees has to hang on to the football. Coach Kelly, I like what you're doing. You're solidifying Notre Dame, but stop yelling at the poor kid. I couldn't hang on to the football either. If I had to worry, you were going to grab me by the face mask and call me everything but my name when I got to the sideline.
Jimmy, what's funny about that, Josh, is I asked Brian Kelly a question last week that actually got played on ESPN, and part of his answer was Tommy Rees made a few mistakes, and he realized what they were, and kind of the whole crowd chuckled when he said that.
Well, one thing about it, and that is one thing about Coach Kelly that I will give him. If you make a mistake, he has no bones about letting you know what those mistakes were. Jimmy, what does Notre Dame have to do to beat Pitt today?
Like you guys said, you guys covered it pretty perfectly. They just need to hold on to the ball and play their game, because Notre Dame, you know, at the very beginning of the season, they were ranked, you know, in the top, I believe they were number 16 in most polls. And after that first loss, there are all these people coming out from the woodwork saying that Notre Dame was overrated. I've got news for everybody. Notre Dame wasn't overrated. They were properly rated. They just didn't play up to their potential those first couple games. I think they could be even better than 16 in the country. If they hold on to the ball, their defense and the way they move the ball on offense is going to do the rest. They're phenomenal in the front seven. They're really good up front. Manti Te'o, obviously leading the charge for that linebacker core. But overall, I mean, they're good enough to just really take it to Pitt. They absolutely shut down Le'Veon Bell last week for Michigan State, made Kirk Cousins throw it a lot. And Pitt's quarterback is no Kirk Cousins, at least not in my opinion. If Notre Dame is able to hold on to the ball, not turn it over, they're good enough, honestly, to not lose a game until they get to Stanford. I said this last week. I think Notre Dame will get better as the year wears along. And this is the best Notre Dame defense that I can remember in the relatively short time I've been following the Irish.
Now, Gary, here's the thing that I wonder about, and I think that that Jimmy nailed it on the head, that Notre Dame was ranked properly. They just, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier, they haven't executed. What do you think has been the problem with Notre Dame? In again, they've got too many turnovers to deal with, and like you said, that could be detrimental to them today. They're not playing at home. And so, and obviously, Graham is very familiar with Irish football, as we've already talked about. So what seems to be the problem on the field between, I don't know if it's a lack of communication, if it's a lack of understanding of the plays, but or if it's a if it's just something completely just a fluke thing that the Irish have to work through. But let's look at it like this. Again, Pitt is no chump, and they're not going to go down there and just get the win. They're going to have to earn this win today.
Well, again, it's turnovers. If you cut out half the Irish turnovers in the first two games, they're 3-0 and a top-10 team right now. If they cut out the turnovers, I think they'll be fine. Now, obviously, the game against Michigan showed a little, showed the weakness in the Notre Dame secondary, especially with Gary Gray not being able to locate the ball in the air. Not reared its ugly head again in the first half of the Michigan State game. But, as long as they can get him some help over there and teach him how to locate the ball in the air and cut out the turnovers, they'll be just fine.
Josh, do you have any questions for Gary about today's game?
Well, I don't really have any question. I am going to make a bold pick. Notre Dame right now sits 1-2. When it's all said and done, January 1st, and either the Rose or the Orange Bowl, Notre Dame will finish the season 11-2 and talk about what could have been had they held on to the ball in the first two games. I don't see anybody on the team on the rest of the schedule. Notre Dame doesn't have the ability to blow out on any given Saturday, and I fully think they have all their turnovers done and they found themselves, and they won't lose another game this year.
Let's hope. Other than Stanford, they should probably win every other game other than maybe Stanford. And even the game out in Stanford, you would hope that they would rise to the level and at least make that competitive or get the W out there at in California.
Gary, what do you think is the biggest – go ahead, Jimmy.
I was just going to ask Josh if he remembered that Stanford was on the schedule. I don't know if I see a blowout there, if necessarily.
I do remember the game for Stanford, and I think Stanford's way overrated. I think they got Andrew Luck, who will be the number one pick, and not much else.
And let's hope he's not the next quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. Well, I shouldn't say that. Actually, I kind of do wish that he's the next quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. But I just hope we don't have to suffer through what it's going to take in order to get him. Gary, really, one more question about Notre Dame's game today. Charlie Weiss and Brian Kelly, two different coaches, two different styles. Obviously, Brian Kelly's a very physical one. Which one do you think plays better for Notre Dame in the type of team that they are?
I would say Brian Kelly. When I, growing up, I always responded, to the coach that yelled and screamed and spit when he talked. Charlie Weiss just could not get through to this team for whatever reason, and it seems like Brian Kelly is able to. Now, granted, he has to throw temper tantrums and embarrass himself on national TV out in front of, berating his quarterback like he was a two-year-old that had just eaten every cookie out of the friggin' cookie jar. But that seems to work, and I think Notre Dame responded last week, and I think they'll respond the rest of the season, and Brian Kelly may be around for a while.
All right, guys, we got to take a break. Can you guys stay around, or you guys need to go? We're just going to talk some Colts football. We're also going to make our talk about some other key national games, and we're also going to talk about the Ball State Army game. And Gary, we'd like for you to stay around for that as well, and you too, if you'd like to stay around for that. And we've also got Super Colts fan Brian, who is going to lead the 12th man charge, and he's still got a lot of people behind him, and he's going to be on the line here with us right after the break to talk about some Colts, and we certainly want to make sure that we have some time to break down this Ball State Army game. So, Gary, if you could stay around for that, we'll get to that in about 15 minutes. Can you stay around?
Yeah, that's not a problem.
Okay, Jimmy, are you going to stay around?
I can hang around a little longer.
Okay, guys, we'll be right back. When we get back, we got Super Coach Fan. He's going to lead the 12th man charge, and I'm going to tell you what,
the 12th man, your next man up, right here on Blog Talk Radio.
Worst thing I ever heard.
It was terrible.
Horrendous.
Well, it wasn't that bad.
Oh, yeah?
Well, there were parts of it I liked.
Yeah, I liked a lot of it.
Yeah, it was good.
It was great.
It was wonderful.
Well, bravo.
More.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, G-Balance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fast Lane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
All right, welcome back to the Balanced Gridiron. My name's Tom Mark Lozell, Presidente. Alongside me is the guy with his very own jersey and is known to eat deep fried butter from time to time, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. Along with me is a host of Star Study Cast. I'm Jimmy the intern from down at Indiana University, Gary Snyder from the Gary Snyder Show, and Mr. Brian, Super Colts fan, Brian Jensen. Jenkins? Jensen? Is it Jensen's, Brian? Brian, are you with us?
I'm here.
Are you there, Brian? Brian is actually driving from making his long haul, his long road trip haul that he makes for every Colts home game from Illinois, about 4 or 5 hours to Indianapolis to lead the charge for the 12th man. Brian and his crew, Super Colts fan. If you've never been downtown on tailgating or at the home games, you guys have seen them. They're all lit up. They've got all their costumes up. Brian, I am so glad that you could join us. We've got a challenge this week, and I know we've got a panel of people here ready to pick your brains. As a Colts fan, are you ready, buddy?
I'm ready. Definitely.
All right, so the Colts, the Steelers, big matchup. Now, I've said in the show, and I've teased it throughout the wrap-up and all week long, on this show, I actually believe the Colts can win this game. So, Brian, without further ado, what does the Colts have to do to beat the Pittsburgh Steelers?
I think Collie needs to utilize Clark and Collie across the middle, use Collie more, slot routes, and not worry too much about the outside receivers. I mean, he's going to use Reggie Wayne and Garcon, when he can, but I think, going out the middle, just, chopping away, doing 8 yards, 8 yards, 5 yards, 8 yards, keep on doing that, and I'd like to see the little Carpenter of the game. I think he's going to be pretty good. I mean, he seems like, once every 5 carries, he tears off a chunk of, 10 to 15 yards, and, he's hard. He's a hard hitter, and he goes up there, and he's really tiny. But I mean, when he gets in there, I mean, he runs like he's 300-pound fullback. I mean, he gets in there and he goes, and Collins needs to finish the drive. When we had the fourth field goal the last game, it seemed like we started at the 20 or the 30, and then we get about, within 20 to 30 yards of scoring, and then he would overthrow Kylie or underthrow Park, and then O'Donnell would only get 5 yards, and we stuck in a 3rd and 5 or 3rd and 3 and had to kick a field goal. But I think, as crazy as it sounds, I think that we might end up going off upset.
And I agree with you 100%. And for those of you that might wonder, Brian and I have not collated our stories. This is an absolute fact. I think the Indianapolis Colts can win this game. And one thing that I like about Brian, super Colts fan, Brian is not a media guy. Brian is not in the media box. Brian is a ticket holder. He buys a ticket to the game just like every other fan. He goes down there and he tailgates and he gets the fans and his group there gets the fans going. And I tell you what, he leads the charge quite literally for the 12th man. So what you hear from Brian here, guys, is actually the fans' perspective. Somebody sitting in the stands, somebody out there talking to the fans and is actually a fan, buys a ticket and everything else. Gary, do you have any questions for Super Colts fan Brian?
The Colts offensive line has been a little suspect to start the season here. How do the Colts plan on stopping that vaunted Pittsburgh Steeler defense and stopping them from wheeling Kerry Collins out on a stretcher on Sunday night?
I really think Collins needs to play more of the shotgun, play action and shotgun. I mean, you can't just be set up behind center with, a defensive line like that. You have to, you can't take 5-step, 3-step back and drop. And throw it. He needs to be in the shotgun. And it seemed like, when he was running the nuts offense in the first series of the last game, he looked great until he got down to about the 20, and then we had to kick the field goal. But I think no huddle shotgun, most of the game, or at least a good part of it, in some play action, I think we can do it.
Jimmy?
Brian, I have one major question to ask. There's been a lot of vitriol directed towards the Colts' offensive line. I'm actually of the opinion that the offensive line is better than last year's group, and that Kerry Collins has got to take some of the blame for not being able to move around back there. The guys earlier were getting on me for my seemingly irrational hatred of Dusty Keel, and I'm rapidly approaching that with Kerry Collins. Are you the same way, or do you put this more on the offensive line or on Kerry Collins not being able to move around?
I put it more on Kerry Collins because, I agree. I think the offensive line is better, but when you hold on to the ball, when you're Peyton Manning out there, you know who you're going to go to. You know who your primary receiver is, and he's up there calling hot routes, and, he sees something in defense, all right, let's get Kylie going, in the slot, and, running a post route or whatever, and then, he knows where his primary receiver is. Collins out there, he's holding on to the ball for too long, and when you're going to hold on to the ball, especially against the Steelers defense, they're going to get through. That's the other end to it. They're going to get through, but, he needs to drop back, drop back in the shotgun, and know that who he's going to go to and feel confident and let the receiver go get the ball.
Joshua.
Well, I would have to agree with Jimmy. Okay, and I'm sure Brian notices too. In week one, Colts fans, we wanted to embrace Kerry Collins. We welcomed him to the field. Sure, he wasn't Peyton Manning, but enough is enough. If I'm Clyde Christensen, I tell Kerry Collins, you run the play I call. Enough of this hot route. Let's change the play. Let's let Kerry Collins change the play. If I tell you to run the ball, you run the ball. If I tell you to throw it, you throw it. I think Kerry Collins can step up, take some responsibility, and get rid of the football.
Yeah, Brian, do you have any comments?
Agree.
Oh, okay. Well, we're talking to Super Colts fan and Brian. And Brian, I know I'm going to let you hop off here because you're driving the long drive here to Indianapolis. We certainly want you to be safe and drive. Now, I know that you're going to be downtown Indianapolis tonight. You're going to check in your hotel, and you're going to be out and about amongst the Colts fans in town. And obviously, there's a lot of Steeler fans in town, and you know this as well as I know this, Brian. The Steelers travel well, so there's a lot of Steeler fans in town tonight. The Colt fans are in town tonight. You're going to be downtown, out and about. I think I'm going to meet up with you a little bit later. I'm not sure if Josh is going to be with me, so I might meet up with you a little bit later this evening to have some brews with some Colt fans. But, Brian, where are you going to be at tonight? And tomorrow, where can Colts fans find you?
I think tonight we're going to be pretty much, like, in the downtown area. I want to go to the new Indianapolis Colts bar down there. We're just staying out in that downtown area as long as it ain't raining. I mean, you know, we'll be ducking in and out of bars and stuff. But, pretty much the bigger nightclubs and bars and, you know, stuff like that. But definitely down there, the Indianapolis Colts bar. And then I think tomorrow we're going to go to Blue Crew. But tomorrow, they're calling for rain. I don't know what the local weather is calling for down there, but I've seen on weather.com it was rain pretty much all day. But noon games are probably watching by Blue Crew, and then head over to the stadium, hopefully tailgate if it don't rain. My suit can't get wet, all the electrical in it, I can't get it wet. But
What Brian's talking about, you cannot miss him. He lights up. He's in full costume, and he's not the only one. And they all travel in a little group. And they are decked out head to toe in Colts gear, lights, blinking lights, sirens, the whole works. Come with super Colts fans, and they're a lot of fun. You can't miss them because all the hot chicks are getting their pictures taken with him.
Yeah.
All right, Brian. We'll talk to you next week as you lead the charge, and hopefully we'll be able to talk about a win that happened between the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Indianapolis Colts. Have a good day, buddy.
You too.
All right. Super Colts fan, always enjoy having the actual fans on, the people that buy a ticket. And sorry about the audio quality there. Obviously, he's driving, and the cell connection wasn't that great. He's ducking in and out of trees, according to the text and what he said. All right, Gary, do you think we're totally crazy in thinking that the Colts can win tomorrow?
Well, I think you're totally crazy for other reasons, but, yeah, that helps.
Absolutely. Jimmy, what about you? Do you think the Colts can win tomorrow?
I think you're nuts, honestly. I don't know, man. Just the fact that Kerry Collins is back there, when you said, I think the Colts can win tomorrow, I was thinking, oh, is Peyton Manning playing? Did I not hear about this? Is there news? As long as Kerry Collins is in there and before he really starts picking up the offense, that's gonna be a problem, and you know you had Phil B. Wilson on a little earlier. Some Steelers haven't forced a turnover. Well, they haven't faced Kerry Collins yet. I have full confidence that they can get back there, get in his head, and get to him. He's been an absolute statue back there, and I've been venting and railing on him all week. Friends and people I work with. I'm pretty sure how Peyton Manning had that procedure where he had to get the ligament of a cadaver to help with his neck. I think Kerry Collins was that cadaver. He looks like he's completely calcified out there. I just cannot see how the Colts would be able to put together a win with Collins as their quarterback against the Pittsburgh Steelers defense that, to my knowledge, still has James Harris and Troy Polamalu.
Well, we're going to get a win tomorrow. I'm still believing. Josh, am I nuts or not?
Well, I, like Gary, already knew you were nuts for several different reasons, but there is Z. Hell will freeze over before the Colts beat the Steelers tomorrow.
So here's what I think we need to get a little friendly wager in. Josh, we've done this before on this show, and Josh, you know I've got a pretty good batting average here. Usually when I go out on a limb and I say, for sure this is going to happen, and I make those bold predictions, I'm a greater than 80% mark on my hit. Josh, what kind of friendly wager, guys, can we do? If the Colts lose, I will do something to eat crow.
If the Colts lose, you can take the entire staff out for steak dinner.
At Steak and Shake. Deal.
I would just like to see you put on Don the Notre Dame jersey and sing the Notre Dame fight song on my show.
I will do that. If the Colts lose, you've got yourself a bet. Now, I don't know how people are going to know what jersey I'm wearing, but we'll convince the listening audience that we can do that. Well, we really want to break that. We're going to take one more final timeout. When we get back, we're going to regroup, and we're going to talk Notre Dame Army. Army's coming up to Muncie, Indiana. Great game. I always love to watch Army play. Obviously, I was in the Army. I love to watch Army play, but this is always a good matchup, and Army's no joke either. They pulled off a pretty good win last week against the against Northwestern. So, you know, when it'll be a pretty good game. When we get back, we're going to talk Army, Notre Dame when we get back.
They're not playing each other.
All right, guys, let's jump right into the injury, starting with Michael Vick.
See what you made me do? You made me push the wrong button. Nobody cares about Michael Vick's injury anymore.
Fastlane Cycles Incorporated, located at 100 Gasoline Alley Suite D in Indianapolis, specializes in quality performance for your bike. A distributor for all major suppliers, we can do everything from service and motor work to customizations and insurance estimates. Give us a call at 317-247-8088. Fastlane Cycles Incorporated at 317-247-8088.
Do you like what you hear on the Balance and Fantasy Football Huddle? Then check us out on the World Wide Web. Facebook, search The Balance. Twitter, G-Balance. You can also send us an email at gbalance@ymail.com. And at any time, check us out on www.thebalanceonline.com.
Balance Gridiron for the final segment. That's right. We're paying tribute to the Muppets, Muppet Show. And only two of us remember who the Muppets even are. We do know that one person remembers Muppet Treasure Island, and one person remembers Muppet Babies. But nobody but myself and Mr. Gary Snyder remember the Muppet Show. Gary, what was your favorite part of the Muppet Show?
I always liked the two grumpy old men up in the balcony.
Yeah, who I played just a while ago.
I
love them. I love the Swedish Chef. So I did pull this clip together. I played it earlier. The Swedish Chef and making eggs. So do you remember the Swedish Chef?
I do, and I always liked the professor, too. He was pretty cool.
Yeah, the professor was pretty good, too, as well. Hey, real quick, here's the Swedish Chef making eggs.
Hey, Morskede, Yungidishkede. Hey, Morskede, Yep, Mork. Bring his bird a little cheeky boo. Hey, the cheeky boo, and bring the egg. It's pretty cheeky. It's an egg. A cheeky boo. It's an egg. Oh, it's pretty cheeky.
Oh, okay.
It's more bigger. It's pretty boom.
All right, Swedish
Hey,
Chef.
Tom?
Tom? Yeah. Yes.
You know, I'm glad you clarified that because I could have swore that was an interview with Dale Jr.
You might be very – no, I promise you that was the Swedish Chef. And Jimmy and Josh, now you guys know classic TV. You guys don't know anything about classic TV until you sit down and watch The Muppets. So some Sunday afternoon when you got nothing else to do, watch The Muppets because they might be just as entertaining as the Indianapolis Colts this weekend.
Yeah, Tom, I'm really glad you pulled that out because I doubt they could have. I doubt the Muppets could have gotten away with that today without some Swedish rights activist group coming out and getting all offended with their depiction of a Swedish chef. So you know, it's a festival of a far gone time. So it's nice to see.
Absolutely. Well, one of the things that's not a far gone time is absolutely Ball State is entertaining Army today. Good game. And, Gary, I know you're a big Ball State guy, so we're going to start with you. What does Ball State have to do to beat Army today?
Well, you know, I hate to keep saying this over and over because, you know, it's caused Notre Dame some trouble. It caused my Huntington North Vikings a lot of trouble last night. And it is Achilles heel of every football team, and that is not turn the football over.
Jimmy, what are your thoughts on this Ball State? Obviously, a win would give Ball State a 3-1 record. And again, Army played a very good game last week. And so this is a pretty good matchup between Army and Ball State. What are your thoughts on this game?
The Ball State's actually surprised me a little bit with how good they've been early this season. Obviously, the first example of that was beating Indiana. But, you know, they've been pretty solid under Pete Lembo, and I would say that if they can keep winning, if they can keep him upright, if they can keep him throwing the ball, those little short routes, and if they can keep their running game going a little bit, I think they stand a pretty good chance of beating Army. Now, Army looks pretty good against Northwestern last week, so I don't know exactly how likely a Ball State victory is, but I have to say it's more likely than I thought it was when this originally popped up on the schedule, and I wouldn't count Ball State out here.
Josh, real quickly, because we do want to get to some other key national games, but we also want to make our NFL picks, so we're running out of time. So real quickly, Josh, what are your thoughts on this Army-Ball State game?
I think Ball State will win this game because they're at home and because Pete Limbo's a really nice guy who has that program rolling. And I'm just not sold on Army. Northwestern's a bad football team.
Well, I'm gonna be the Lone Ranger yet again. I think Army beats Ball State at home today with a score of 21-17. And I think that's going to be a good game. Now, Josh, at the very beginning of the show, we talked about some other national games. Real quickly, run through those, and then we're going to make our NFL picks, and then we're going to have to call it a day. So what are some of the other key national BCS games that are going on today?
Well, number 9, Texas A&M is playing number 8, Oklahoma State. You got number 2, LSU going to number 16, West Virginia. You got number 3, Alabama playing number 14. Arkansas, those are all matchups of undefeated teams. And you got Michigan playing to San Diego State. And the more I think about it, Brady Hoke's going to suffer his first loss as head coach of Michigan today.
All right, guys, I wish we had time to break down all those games, but we want to make sure that we get our picks in, our NFL picks. So we'll get through as many of these as we can before my little clock on my screen that says you need to shut up. And so it's my shut-up-o-meter. So real quickly, guys, we'll go through this. We'll start with you, Josh, and then Jimmy, and then Gary. Then I'll make my pick last, and we'll just keep that order going. New England and Buffalo, Josh.
I want to surprise people, pick Buffalo.
Jimmy.
New England.
Gary.
Buffalo.
I'm going to go with Buffalo on this one as well. Jacksonville and Carolina.
Carolina.
Josh. Jimmy.
Carolina.
Gary.
Carolina.
I'm going to go with Carolina as well. San Francisco and Cincinnati.
Bengals.
Jimmy.
Niners.
I'm going to go with Gary on this. I think the Bengals are going to be too stoned to go with the Niners. Miami and Cleveland, Josh.
Miami.
Cleveland.
Jimmy. Gary.
Cleveland.
I like Miami in this game. Detroit, Minnesota, Josh.
Minnesota.
Detroit.
Jimmy. Gary.
Detroit.
I like Detroit. Detroit is hot this year, so I'm going to have to agree with everyone on Detroit on this. Houston and New Orleans. Josh.
Houston.
Jimmy.
New Orleans.
And Gary.
When the Saints come marching home.
When the Saints come marching home. Obviously, we know what's going to happen between Pittsburgh and Indianapolis. You guys have already semi-major your picks, so I'm going to go with Indianapolis on that one. New York Jets and Oakland, real quickly.
Raiders.
Jimmy.
I'm going to go with the Raiders as well.
Yeah, I'm going with the Raiders too.
All right, I'm going to go with the Jets. Guys, I wish we had some other time, but there's Kansas City, San Diego, Baltimore, St. Louis, Green Bay, and Chicago, Arizona and Seattle, Atlanta and Tampa Bay, and Monday night is Washington and Dallas. Well, guys, that's going to do it for us. I'm so glad that you could join us for the last half hour of this show. Josh, as usual, you get the 60-second timeout. Take us out, buddy. Well, maybe Josh isn't there. Jimmy, I'm going to go ahead and give you the 60-second timeout, so go ahead.
Okay. What do I do with the 60-second timeout? I don't know.
Really, you can talk about whatever sports game that you want to talk about and just tell us about what goes on today in sport.
Oh, all right. If you're going to – all right. San Diego, Kansas City is going to be an absolute bloodbath. Take the over field. Take the over, people.
All righty, guys. That's going to do it. We're out of here. Thanks, Jimmy. We'll see you next week on the Balanced Gridiron.